ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విద్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram and welcome once again.
Ishwaramba.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. Today is November 14, 2019. The birthday month has already begun. And in just less than 10 days from now, we're going to have the grand celebration of Bhagwan's 94th birthday. In Radio Sai, we have been preparing with various offerings. One which we have already rolled out and you are aware is the invitation that we have sent to people on all our social media platforms and website to send videos of their little hearts connecting to Swami in their own innocent, pious ways. My baby, my Baba. And we have been receiving any number of videos. In fact, we have received an overwhelming participation from all over the world to this initiative, wherein people are sending videos of their little one singing a bhajan, their little angel chanting the Gayatri Mantra, their innocent boy chanting Gananam Tva, the Vedic hymn, their one-year-old kissing Bhagwan's photograph, their two-year-old worshipping the photo of Swami. How each one is connecting to that embodiment of purity, innocence, beauty. It is always lovely when you see babies connect to Baba, because Bhagwan also was so baby-like. If ever you had the chance to be with him physically at close quarters, you would have definitely experienced this innocent, pure self of Bhagwan. And that is what we see every time you see the face of a baby. You see the face of a baby and you're reminded of Baba. You see the face of Baba and you're reminded of the innocence and the purity of the babies. In fact, it is this thought that propelled us to start this campaign, wherein we celebrate the pure love, the unadulterated innocence, and the spontaneous connect of these pious souls with Bhagwan. We've been uploading some of these videos on our Facebook page and Instagram, and we have uploaded a few videos on our YouTube channel too. And we are going to upload many more in the coming days leading up to Bhagwan's birthday. And as we have promised when we started this initiative we will offer all these videos of little ones at the lotus feet of Bhagwan, at his sannidhi, on the birthday. This will be our collective offering to Swami, seeking his blessings for this new generation, expressing our gratitude to him for the unimaginable ways he has blessed us, and praying that we become instruments to disseminate this purity, to be a part in creating this new world, which would be filled with the sublimity of divine love, with the purity of oneness, and with the sanctity of compassion. Even though November 12th was the last date for the submission of My Baby, My Baba videos, we will be extending this for another week. So feel free, wherever you are, to visit our website, radiosai.org. You can go to radiosai.org/mybabymybaba. This is a shortcut which will take you directly to the page where we have all the details about this initiative. And if you have any videos of little ones, your children, your grandchildren, your nephews, nieces, or anybody, you know, whose video would be an inspiration for everyone in creating a better world, please feel free to share those videos. There is a form to be filled up that will help us to document and share this in the most effective manner. So that is one of our 94 birthday initiatives, and there are a couple of more. We are working on them, and once we are in a position to share, we will do that. So even as it is hectic in Radio Sai, just like it is in so many homes and so many Sai centers all over the world, waiting for this big day, preparing for this big day, looking forward to this big day, Prashanti always is at its best on this day, because it became Prashanti because this day blessed this place, because on this day the divine decided to descend, because this day the divine decided to concretize himself and play and become one with his loved ones. And when the Lord comes, along with him come so many pure, beautiful souls who, like the Gopikas, who like the Prahladas, who like the Pandavas, had the opportunity to serve the Lord, to be with the Lord, to bask in his love, and to live the life that he wanted us to live. There are so many such beacons of Prashantinalayam, and when we look at their lives, they fill you with strength, courage, hope, inspiration, and determined zeal to walk on the spiritual path. And this is the series we have been continuing for more than 8-9 weeks now, in Outside Inside Deep Inside, every Thursday, Beacons of Prashantinalayam. In the last 5-6 weeks, I've been sharing with you the story of Mr. B.V. Raman Rao, how he came to Bhagwan, how Bhagwan himself came to Hyderabad, how Swami unexpectedly made a visit to his house, how he was part of the trip that Swami made to East-West Godavari in 69, how he had the opportunity to serve Bhagwan during the Guru Purnima of 69. How Bhagwan blessed him with his lingam in the Shivratri of 1970. I shared with you the Goa incident of 1970, where Mr. Raman Rao also played a little role. I shared with you in the previous episode the stories of Bhagwan's relationship with Raman Rao as it unfolded in 1970. How this connection became stronger and sturdier, how he learned those lessons from Bhagwan's life about obedience. How Bhagwan taught him that he knows every little thing. How his desire for having a room in the ashram was known to Bhagwan, and how he revealed that in the most interesting, unexpected manner. How he learned that Bhagwan does not need to take letters. Every letter that we write is because he put that thought into us. So there are so many such lessons that Mr. Raman Rao continued to learn. And as we listen to his story, we learn about how to strengthen this bond with our eternal friend. In 1971, Mr. Prasad Rao, one of the ardent devotees of Bhagwan from Hyderabad, had a dream in which Bhagwan appeared to him inside a lingam. And he liked that image in the dream so very much. During Shivratri that year, the Sevadals from Mumbai had worn a badge which had an enamel showing Swami within a lingam. And Mr. Prasad Rao and so many devotees from Hyderabad saw that and they felt, wow, this is done so nicely. Bhagwan inside the lingam, because the lingam is the symbol of the divine. The lingam is like the cosmos, and Bhagwan embedded in the cosmos was a very beautiful picturization of the creator and the cosmos. So Mr. Prasad Rao, who had been tremendously blessed by Bhagwan, sometimes visited his house so many times. In 1971, he went to Bhagwan and talked about this dream, which was very, very dear to him, a dream where Swami had appeared within the lingam. And he said, Swami, can we build a home in the shape of a lingam in Hyderabad? This would be a temple, a Sai temple. Swami listened to his prayer and said, good, develop a model, make a model. Soon a prototype was ready, and Mr. Prasad Rao, along with a few other architects, showed it to Swami for his approval. Swami made many corrections and finally gave the go-ahead for the plan. The next important activity was the selection of a suitable site. And Swami, along with a few devotees, drove around Hyderabad looking for an appropriate area. And finally, Swami selected the site in Bagambar Pit in Vidyanagar in Hyderabad. Apparently, Swami had himself purchased this area a few years ago. It was adjacent to the house of another ardent devotee, Mr. E.J. Satyamurthy. That is how always it is with Bhagwan's mind. master plan unfolding, you always later on see how every dot is so beautifully planned for a future connect. So once the site selection was done, Swami had another significant event in his divine agenda. Now, there were three devotees in Hyderabad whom Bhagwan had specially blessed by giving them for worship the lingams that he had manifested from within his being, from his body during Lingodbhavam on the occasions of Mahashivratri in Prashant and Nilayam. So now Swami directed these three who had these lingams, Mr. V.S. Desikachari, Mr. B.V. Raman Rao and Mr. V.D. Prasad Rao. Swami told all three of them to bring those lingams to that sacred site and perform Trilingabhishekam, the Abhishekam of all the three lingas, the three lingas which had emerged from Bhagwan's being. So all these three divine cosmic manifestations were worshipped elaborately with piety and grandeur. And that is how Bhagwan charged that area with sacred vibrations. For the ground foundation stone laying ceremony, Shankusthapana, when Swami laid the foundation stone, Swami himself supervised every section of this function. The date was most appropriate. It was a Monday in the month of Kartika, the same day and month in which Swami was born. And the date according to the English calendar was October 25th, 1971. The most sublime aspect of this ceremony was that Bhagwan in his own hands laid the first stone for this enigmatic edifice. And then with a wave of his hand materialized a yantra, a mystical plate, and placed it at the site. And later in the day, Swami gave a profound discourse in which he said, the construction of this mandir called Shivam is a special sadhana for the residents of Bhagyanagar. Another name of Hyderabad is Bhagyanagar. Swami said, its appearance is unique because it is being built in the shape of a linga, the form most approximate to the conception of the formless and the attributeless absolute. The linga is the form of God emerging from the nirakara to the sakara, the formless becoming a form. So when the formless assumes a form, the most perfect way to depict the formless is this form of the linga. Swami said, other akaras, other forms are all subsumed in this linga form. In a linga, the prakriti, the objective world is the base. It signifies that the Lord is established in that manifestation of His, which is the concrete presentation of His play, His potentiality and His power. Swami said, that is why the Lord is described as Shiva Shakti Atmaka Swarupam, the Supreme One, which became the Shiva and the Shakti, meaning that which is latent and the patent. And Swami said, you will notice that the base has a horizontal superstructure over which the cylindrical linga is placed. The base is Satyam, the structure over it is Shivam, and the linga is Sundaram. One is the flower, the second is the perfume, and the third is the wind, the formless that wafts the fragrance. which is the symbol of Mangalyam, auspiciousness, that is Shivam. Truth is the base on which the universe and all that it implies rest. The Swami so beautifully said, you have the base, you have the cylindrical linga on the base, and that linga is Sundaram. The message this building will convey is that man is the embodiment of Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, truth, goodness and beauty. And Swami said, it will call on all to live up to that glory. This building will call on all to live up to that glory of Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, being beautiful, being truthful, and being auspicious. One has to realize the truth and demonstrate in thought, word and deed that truth is the very basis of their existence. Know the truth, and the truth shall make you strong and steady. Free from the bonds of lust and hate, man has to learn the lesson of Shivam, swallow the poison of anger and greed, and make it ineffective in its effort to harm the world. Spread consolation and comfort through speech and action. So these were the profound messages that Bhagwan gave on the day he laid the foundation stone for Shivam, the divine abode of Bhagwan in Hyderabad. And Mr. Raman Rao was very much present on this landmark occasion. The linga that he had given was installed at this sacred site. Swami further said, why this temple, you may ask? Is it for my stay whenever I happen to visit Hyderabad? Swami said, I don't need a huge building, nor the furniture and appliances you propose to collect here. This building will serve more the needs of those who have now to follow me around from house to house, because whenever I come, I go from one place to the other and people keep following me. I have no fixed residence. This will now be the place where devotees can come to me. This building will give them a place where they can await me. This is that building. This is that one more reason why I will come to Hyderabad more often. And Swami did come for the opening ceremony of Shivam, and after that for so many Shivam anniversaries. So Mr. Raman Rao, who has been associated with Shivam right from the foundation stone laying days, was very much involved in this temple coming up and this temple becoming the heart of the Satya Sai movement in Andhra Pradesh. Later on, Mr. Raman Rao became the state president of the Satya Sai organizations, Andhra Pradesh. So coming back to that day, after the beautiful ceremony of laying the foundation stone of Shivam, Swami arranged lunch in the house of Dr. Bhagwantam on the next day, on the 26th of October. And Swami, while getting into his car after lunch, called Mr. B.V. Raman Rao and said, Ramana, look, your parents are here. In order to make them feel happy, I will come to your place for dinner tomorrow. Swami said, no, not tomorrow. I will come to your place for dinner tonight. And just as Bhagwan had mentioned, that night Swami brought with him two of Mr. Raman Rao's sons and six more students from Puttaparthi. So Mr. Raman Rao told Swami, can I invite 30 of the most prominent members of the Satya Sai organization, Swami? Swami said, your own family members are about 30. All right. You arrange the dinner on the terrace because that can accommodate 50 people. It'll be nice. It'll be a moonlit dinner. Then Mr. Raman Rao said, Swami, I will ask my family people to sit on the ground floor. All the guests will be served on the terrace. After dinner, if Swami pleases, Swami may go down and grant darshan to those waiting in the ground floor. And these people will have dinner later on as the second batch. Swami said, all right, do as per your convenience. I will be there exactly at 8 p.m. So dinner was arranged for 48 persons on the terrace, and his relatives, numbering 30, were seated in the ground floor. A chair and a table was kept for Swami to have dinner with all the other guests. Swami arrived exactly at 8 p.m., came inside, greeted all his relatives, and Swami told them that he would give them Padmaskaram when he came back to them after dinner. Mr. Raman Rao's wife and mother served Swami, and Swami went round as the devotees were partaking the prasadam in the terrace. In about 20-30 minutes, everyone had had their food. Bhagwan loved the arrangements, the food. The guests were very happy. And after that, Swami continued to sit in the chair on the terrace. And he was in a very jovial mood, talking to the guests, cracking jokes, telling stories. All the people were thrilled to be with Swami in that moonlit night. And in this manner, Swami had spent more than an hour. At around 9:30, Swami told Mr. Raman Rao to ask his wife, mother and father to go down. Mr. Raman Rao's brother Satyamurthy was busy taking pictures with his camera. And then Swami told all the guests, it is 1 hour since we finished our dinner and some of your hands have become dry. You could not wash them. You were just with me all the while. And Swami said, Raman Rao's relatives are waiting in the ground floor. So all of you go down, wash your hands, and you wait in your respective vehicles because there is not much sufficient space for all of you in the house. I will go and see his family members and bless them with Padmaskaram. And saying so, Swami came down from the terrace and he went to each member of Mr. Raman Rao's family and filled them with joy. Earlier when Bhagwan had come to Mr. Raman Rao's house, Swami gave no prior intimation. And on that occasion, Mr. Raman Rao was feeling very bad and said, Swami, if only I had known before, I would have made better arrangements. And Swami had told, okay, I will come again. And that will be a visit with prior intimation. And that promise was fulfilled on October 26, 1971. So Mr. Raman Rao kept coming to Prashanthi Nilayam for every opportunity of seva. The next year, 1972, was the year when Bhagwan commenced summer courses in Indian culture and spirituality for students. Students came from all over the country. There was a selection procedure. They stayed with Swami for that 1 month, and Bhagwan every day would speak to these young minds and sensitize them about the culture of India, about the spirituality that is at the heart of Indian culture. Bhagwan used to stay in what was called the old bungalow in Vrindavan. There was a rear veranda in the old bungalow, and parallel to this rear veranda, at a distance of 60 feet, there was an outhouse. This outhouse had two storerooms and a kitchen. And when summer court started, Bhagwan gave the opportunity of serving the students of the summer course to Mr. Raman Rao and his team of Sevadals from Hyderabad. So he would take these 20 volunteers and go to Swami to help in the conduct of the summer course. This happened for the first time in 1972, and it continued for the subsequent summer courses. The duty assigned to this group was supervising the cooking and serve the food to all the students, boys and girls, as well as the guests. Bhagwan would speak to the students every evening. These classes would be held in the college. The duty of these sevadals was to always keep ready all the food items in big white containers laid on the long table and serve in the plates held by the students who would be passing by the table in a line. These volunteers would serve sambar, rasam, curds, the menu that was decided every day, and additionally Swami would always send some sweets and fruits and some special item for the boys and the girls. And often when the students were eating, Swami would make a sudden visit and he would inspect how the sevadals are serving. Are all the arrangements proper? After the students finish the meals, the sevadals wash the plates, they tidy up the place, and many times the same area was used in the evenings for cultural programs. So they were busy morning till evening, serving the students, keeping that area clean, making arrangements for the functions to be held in that space. And it used to be hectic, but everyone enjoyed being part of this lovely opportunity of being with Swami. And all of them used to stay in that outhouse. All the sevadals would eat only after all the students have eaten. And many times, Swami would suddenly drop in into that outhouse. And he would simply sit down on a suitcase or on a bedroll, and Swami would casually talk and fill the volunteers with joy, clarify their doubts and bless them profusely. Once the summer course concludes, Swami would bless every volunteer with Padamaskaram. He would give them clothes, he would give them shirt and pant cloth pieces plus stitching charges. Some years he gave shawls. So he would fill every member who had the opportunity to be a part of the summer course and serve the students. He would fill their hearts with joy. There are many interesting things that happened during the summer course. In 1972, during these summer courses, sessions, there was this devotee, Mr. Suraya, an ardent devotee of Bhagwan. He used to look after the canteen. In Prashantinilayam, he was a tall, well-built person. He was a bachelor, not speak much, but very engaged in looking after the devotee's food arrangements in Prashantinilayam, in those days of very rudimentary amenities in Puttaparthi. But he was a very straight-spoken person. He came to Swami from Venkatagiri when Bhagwan started visiting the Raja of Venkatagiri. Shri Suraya was so taken in by Bhagwan's divinity, he was convinced that Swami is God, and he came down and settled down in Puttaparthi and decided to dedicate his life in Swami's service. So Suraya had to be operated upon for hernia in Victoria Hospital by Dr. Bore Gowda, who was a Sai devotee. And Swami sent Mr. Raman Rao and Dr. Srinivas to accompany the patient one day prior to the operation. Dr. Srinivas also was a doctor and a great devotee of Bhagwan. Swami wanted that Suraya's operation is performed smoothly, and Mr. Raman Rao and Dr. Srinivas should be there to help Suraya through the process. So Dr. Bore Gowda informed that the operation would be performed at 8 a.m. the next morning, and he detailed about the medication that has to be taken as well as the precautions to be observed prior to the surgery. So Shri Suraya called Mr. Raman Rao the previous night and said, "Raman Rao Garu, Swami cures diseases of all people. He just gives vibhuti and they are cured. But I don't know why he subjected me to this ordeal of operation. I don't know, maybe I will die under anesthesia. I don't know why Swami is making me go through this. In any case, I don't have any desire to continue living, and I am not afraid of death. Swami knows all about my property and my belongings. There are only 4 pairs of clothes that I have, and there is a towel, and there is just rupees 350 as cash in my suitcase. Swami knows. I have a request. If I don't return to consciousness during the operation, after the operation, just feel free to distribute all this money to the hospital workers. Do not take my corpse to Vrindavan. The secret summer course is going on there. Let us not disturb that. Let us not defile that. You tell Swami and just take my dead body away to the nearest ground and just cremate it. Just dispose it off. Don't worry about it. You don't have to inform anyone. Nobody needs to know. Swami knows." So when Suraya said all this, Mr. Raman Rao, of course, felt very sad, and he said, "Why are you saying all these things? Nothing like this will happen. Swami himself is so concerned about you. He has sent both of us to be with you during the operation. I am sure you will return safe by Swami's grace." So the next morning, there was a stretcher brought to take him to the operation theater. And Mr. Suraya said, no, I don't want the stretcher. I will walk to the theater." But the hospital boy, the ward boy said, please, sir, you have to get onto this stretcher because I will lose my job if you walk into the operation theater. Every patient is supposed to come to the theater in this manner." So he was in the operation theater at 8:15, and at 11:30, he was brought out of the operation theater. Dr. Bore Gowda, who did the procedure, came out and he informed that everything went on very well and the patient would soon regain consciousness. So Mr. Raman Rao asked Dr. Srinivas to stay there, and he went to Vrindavan to communicate this to Swami. Bhagwan called him upstairs And when Mr. Raman Rao narrated to Swami about the success of the operation, Swami was very thrilled, very happy. But what Mr. Raman Rao did not know is what Swami had told Mr. Ramabrahmam, the caretaker of Vrindavan Ashram. Later on in the day, Sri Ramabrahmam informed Mr. Raman Rao that morning from 9:30 to 10:15, Bhagwan was in a trance. Swami had just left his body and gone. When Swami returned back to his body, Swami mentioned to Mr. Ramabrahmam, Suraya's operation was completed. I was there. The doctor was worried about Suraya because the patient was obstinate and the doctor was a timid doctor. I had to ensure that there is harmony between them. I had to ensure that the operation goes on smoothly. My presence squared up all the problems, Swami said. So this was one occasion when Mr. Raman Rao was a live witness to Bhagwan's grace working in multifarious ways. Where, when one has dedicated himself to Swami, the extent to which Swami goes to take care of that person, how Bhagwan wanted him to know the position that people serve him have in the Lord's heart. And it was one occasion for him to not only serve the Lord but also serve one of the great servitors of the Lord. While this happened during the summer course of 1972, there are so many other events that happened. In fact, one very, very significant, very important event that happened during the summer course of 1972 was the emergence of one of the most pious souls of the century. Mr. Raman Rao was there when Mother Ishwaramma became one in body, mind and spirit with Bhagwan. Mr. Raman Rao says, Mother Ishwaramma was more or less the mouthpiece of so many troubled hearts, those devotees who could not get Swami's attention for some reason and were desperate to find a solution to their problems would go to Mother Ishwaramma, and she would somehow present their pitiable conditions to Swami. And even though Bhagwan would appear disinclined to take recommendations from her, Swami would always give her his ear. And in these situations, Swami had to do tightrope walking because he never wanted the world to feel that the easiest way to get across to him is through the Divine Mother. Otherwise, she would become his secretary. At the same time, Swami did not ever want to displease her. And Mother would always be concerned about all the devotees. So more often than not, Swami would bless everyone the Mother brought. But Swami would pretend as if he was doing it reluctantly because he didn't want to encourage it. And Mr. Raman Rao says, I have been a personal witness to many such incidents when the Mother pleaded on a devotee's behalf and Swami in response said, okay, ask them to come and sit in the front, I will look after. So for Mr. Raman Rao to be there when Mother Ishwaramma merged at the lotus feet of Bhagwan was a very, very precious opportunity. It was May 6, 1972. The summer course was going on in the ashram. Youth from all over the country had come to participate in this 1-month-long program. At about 6 that morning, Srimati Parvatamma, one of Swami's sisters, cried out, "Swami, Swami, mother has fallen down." And that is when Mr. Ramabrahman, the caretaker, Vrindavan Ashram, rushed to the scene and he asked Mr. Raman Rao to call Dr. Hegde, who is a close devotee of Bhagwan. Meanwhile, Mr. Ramabrahman went upstairs, but Swami apparently did not open the door of his room. Restless, he went up again after a short while, because no one can take the liberty of knocking at Bhagwan's door. But he went up again and waited. But now he was surprised that suddenly Swami's door opened and Swami came down with a silk sari in his hand. Bhagwan went straight to the mother's room and told Srimati Venkamma, Swami's other older sister, pointing to Mother Ishwarama's body. Swami said, "She achieved what she had sought for, a painless Passover. She is extremely fortunate." And then Swami covered her body with the silk sari he had brought with him. All along, Sri Kamavadhani, the renowned Vedic scholar who was around, was chanting Vedic hymns. And during this time, Swami also perhaps poured tulsi water into the mouth of Mother Ishwaramma. What we do not know about this episode is the exact moment when the mother called out, "Swami, Swami," about which Professor Kasturi writes in the book Ishwaramma, the Chosen Mother. And Swami is saying, "I am coming, I am coming." Well, that was a call of the soul which Swami heard, and Swami immediately answered. When Bhagwan came down with the silk sari, Swami was calm, composed and absolutely in control of everything, like always. In fact, within a minute of draping her body with the new cloth, Swami called Mr. Raman Rao and said, "Start immediately for the city market in our vehicle. Purchase flowers from there, as there will be no flowers in Puttaparthi at this time. All the rural folk would like to place flowers on the body of the Divine Mother. Purchase these flowers and go directly to Puttaparthi." And so saying, Swami thrust many 100-rupee notes into his pocket. Mr. Raman Rao felt very embarrassed to accept money from Swami, but there was no time or place, space to tell Swami anything. He just had to obey and rush. Went to the city market and he bought these flowers. But when he started this process, he didn't know how to proceed. What sort of flowers to buy? Should he buy garland? Should he buy loose ones? How much should he purchase? What is the quantity will he get for the money Swami had given? All those thoughts were going. When he reached the market, he went to the owner of one shop and he requested for the flowers. And the shop owner asked why he wanted the flowers for. And when he said Mother Ishwaramma passed away in the morning, that shopkeeper instantly broke down, and the shopkeeper started crying inconsolably. And Mr. Raman Rao was shocked. He thought, how do these shopkeepers know Mother Ishwaramma? He said, "I never thought he would know the mother. Not only that, have this much love for her." And soon many other flower shop owners gathered there, and then a barrage of questions followed. How did this happen? When did this happen? How was she yesterday? What did Swami say? And so on. Within 10 minutes, they filled their entire van with all kinds of flowers and garlands, and all of them refused money. Mr. Raman Rao insisted that they accept the money that Swami had given, because otherwise he might get reprimanded by Swami. So they accepted finally as Swami's prasadam. And this was one occasion which was an eye-opener for Mr. Raman Rao, a great revelation. It was unbelievable what he saw there. In those days, 200-300 people assembling for an event is a good number, but on that day thousands had gathered. And Mr. Rama Brahmam, along with Swami's sisters Parvatamma and Venkamma, accompanied the sacred remains of Mother Isharamma and reached the house of Bhagwan's brother, Sri Janakiramaya at Puttaparthi by 10:30 a.m. itself that day. By 12, Mr. Raman Rao arrived to Puttaparthi, and in those couple of hours the news had spread like wildfire and many had flocked in large numbers from all surrounding villages. The hamlet of Puttaparthi was packed with people. Hundreds of them were literally crying and wailing loudly. Now who will take care of us? To whom shall we go and tell our problems? Why have you left us so suddenly, Amma? That is how much Puttaparthi loved Mother Isharamma, and everything was a moment of revelation for Mr. Raman Rao. As he said later, I could not believe what I saw. I never had imagined that she was virtually the mother of so many, that she was their strength, their support, their solace. I had thought it would be a simple burial with a few known devotees and Swami's family members, but this was stunning. It was a stunning surprise for me. And he says, that is when I realized how everyone loved the mother, because mother was all the time concerned about others' welfare. And that was a huge lesson for Mr. Raman Rao. Even when Swami gave Mother Isharamma money, especially on some festival days like his birthday, Dasara, the mother would always give it to the poor and needy. She knew this is what will make Swami proud and happy. And this is something Mr. Raman Rao also learned and lived in his life. Every event that Swami was making him go through was adding facets, beautiful aspects to his personality. And Mr. Raman Rao says, no wonder on so many occasions Swami had mentioned that it was the mother's prayer which prompted him to launch the mammoth missions in the field of education, healthcare and social care. But when I saw that day, I could fully relate to it. Even though ultimately it is divine will to uplift the lives of thousands through these mega projects, but the chosen instrument for all these was the Divine Mother. And Mr. Raman Rao had the opportunity to be one of the pallbearers of the sacred body of the Divine Mother as it was being taken in a procession from Sri Janakiramaya's house to the place of the Mother's Samadhi. And he had the chance to lower the body of the Mother into the sacred pit. After that, the sacred spot was overflowing with flowers and garlands. More than that, it was drenched with the tears of teeming thousands. She was accorded all due honors that would befit a queen. She was a queen of compassion, a queen of hearts. And this memory left such an indelible imprint in Mr. Raman Rao's mind about the value of selflessness, of sacrifice, of how you become dear to Swami if you constantly are dear to the poor and needy, of how for Swami what is important is not relation, family relation, but compassion. And this is something Mr. Raman Rao practiced his life. He knew that if he looked after the devotees, if he served the devotees, Swami would be proud of him, and that is what he did till the end of his life. Even at 91, he continued to serve the devotees. And look at the opportunities Swami gave him. He was almost like a family member for Swami. Swami gave him the chance to hold the body, to be a pallbearer of the sacred body, to place the body inside the pit, to get the flowers for the body. That is the confidence that he had blessed with from the physical Bhagwan. And this, and so many such opportunities and such occasions that he was blessed to be part of, slowly created that beautiful conflagration of sacrifice that Mr. Raman Rao turned out to be. If you read his book Nectar of Love, you will find many amazing instances of Mr. Raman Rao learning these lessons of sacrifice, selflessness and unbounded compassion. And this is what is one of the hallmarks of any Sai worker, any Sai devotee, anyone who professes to be a follower of Sri Satya Sai. To be part of the final journey of Mother Isharamma to Mr. Raman Rao was a chance that he cherished till the end of his life. So the summer course of 1972 was in many ways a very, very significant one for Mr. Raman Rao, because he saw what Bhagwan means to Suraya. He saw what is Swami's relationship with Mother Isharamma. He saw what is the connect between Swami and the students. And he saw how service pleases the Lord the most. There are many more instances that happened during the summer course of 1972. And we will continue this in the coming episodes of Outside Inside, Deep Inside, in the series Beacons of Prashanti Nilayam. There are so many stories of such people. We are now doing the story of Raman Rao, and after we complete with his life, we will continue this with the stories of any number of people who have been the pillars in building this heaven of peace that is Prashanti Nilayam. We pray to Swami that he fills us with that inspiration, that faith, that sense of surrender, so that our life also becomes an offering into this beautiful sacrificial fire, this yagnam, that is Prashanti Nilayam. So dear listeners, as always, if you have anything to share, any comments, any suggestions, please feel free. You can write to us by sending an email to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send your comments to our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. With gratitude to Bhagwan for giving us this opportunity to ruminate on the story of the people who have been instruments in living and disseminating his glory, we bring this session to a close and we'll continue this in the coming episodes. Thank you so much. Jai Sai Ram.
ईश्वरांब प्रियतनया साई नारायण ईश्वरांब प्रियतनया साई Sai Narayana Satya Narayana
Sai Narayana
Satya Narayana Sai Narayana
Satya Narayana.
ईश्वरं प्रियतनया साई नारायण कलयुग में अवतार लिए कलयुग में अवतार लिए कण कण में तेरा नाम